that better? Okay, very good. Thank you. So yes, this morning I was encouraged and strengthened by Brother Brian's devotional. It brought confirmation to my heart what I want to share. And what the Lord has laid on my heart to share is I have a message on having confidence toward God. And something that I have often lacked in my life, and as I studied into it, I was very blessed. And for an opening thought on this message, I have a verse in Isaiah 30, verse 15. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." And he was talking to the children of Israel here, I believe, as they were, he was calling them out of Egypt. And at the end of that verse it says, "And ye would not." And my hope and prayer this morning is this, that we would. That we would come to God for rest, and that we would have quietness and confidence for our strength today. And so that is my heart for the message today, that it would be a strength and an encouragement for all of us here this morning. For a text, we will turn to 1 John chapter 3. I have several scriptures that I will be turning to in each of the points. I have 3 points this morning that I would like to speak on. The first one being having confidence toward God by having evidence of God in our life. And point number two is having confidence toward God by being delivered from judging, unbelief, and fear. And number three is having confidence toward God by His love. And I trust the Lord will help us to glean from these 3 points as we press on. In 1 John chapter 3, I will be reading from chapter 16 through the end to chapter 24. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has his world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He has given us." And in verse 21 is where the title comes from. The title for today's message is Having Confidence Toward God, and I will write that on the board here. Write this a little bit smaller for us. So in point number one, having confidence toward God by having evidence of God in our life. And sometimes there's things in our lives that are hindering us from having evidence of God. And I have a little bit of an illustration along. Sometimes we find ourselves broken up. And this message, my burden for this message is that, or not the burden necessarily, but this message I was thinking is for those of us who are born again. That is more where my message is geared towards, is for us who have been washed, and we find that there's a broken area in our life. And God has good plans for us Christians, that if we find that there's a broken area in our life, we can find. Sometimes our confidence in God looks just like that. I have found that in my life. And God restores our confidence. He's a restoring God. Verse 16 through 19, I have scripture in Colossians 3, 12 and 13, where it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Verse 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." And sometimes, as we go through this life, we walk together and a brother or sister does something that we take up an offense. And our confidence in the Lord, I dare say, is tattered when we do that. And sometimes we just simply need to come before God and ask to be forgiven for taking up offense. And there can be a sweet place again of having rest in God. There can be a restoring of confidence toward God with that peace and rest coming back into our hearts. Verse 17, it says, "But whoso has his world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" And in James 2, verse 14 through 17, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." What I was thinking here is, sometimes our brother or sister has need in the congregation, or there's a neighbor that may have some need. And God's heart is that when He dwells in us, and His love will be in us when He is in us, right? And then His heart is that that will be shared. He wants to show the world. And in order to have a valid faith, it requires an outpouring of that love, which I believe is works that we will see coming out of our lives along with our faith in Him. Jesus comes and He restores. And when we lay down our lives for our brethren, there is evidence of having been forgiven. And having been washed in the blood, and there will be godly fruit coming out of our lives. and we will have faith in God, and there will be works to prove it. Verse 19, it says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." It doesn't mention In verse 19, I wanted to read out of 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5 through 10. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." I was blessed to see where our faith has add-on blocks, if I may say it that way. And then Peter says here that if we lack in these things, we are blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten. It's not talking about offenses or unforgiveness here for our lack. It is talking about some beautiful building blocks to our faith, that if we can have these, this virtue, this knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. These things are present with our faith. It says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered." In verse 11, it says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting life." And hereby, verse 19, through that, we shall know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts. By having those virtues, I call them virtues, maybe there's a better word to describe that, but the virtues described there in Peter, those are coming out of our lives. Hereby know we are of the truth, and by that we shall assure our hearts. Those are some evidences that we can see coming out of our lives that can give us confidence toward God, that we can with full assurance come to Him and expect a relationship with Him, expect good things, spiritual things to come into our lives from Him. This brings us to our next point, being delivered from judging, unbelief, and fear. In verse 20 there it says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." And there's a scripture here in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. This was Paul speaking, and he said in verse 3, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord." And so when I have struggled in this area in my life is to judge where I am at, to judge according to outside of God's word. It can be whatever it may be that we judge ourselves with and compare ourselves with and start judging another person. And may we, with Paul, say that is a very small thing to me to go into that area in life. To not judge ourselves, not make a big mess out of whatever the glob may be that we're processing. And commit our life to the Lord. It is Him that will judge us at the end of the day, not us ourselves. Our answer can be from the Lord, because God knows everything. He knows my motives. And in Psalms 138, verse 8, the first part of the verse says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." I like that. Let's turn to Him for, if we struggle with our confidence toward God and we're in a turmoil in our heart, let's turn to Him and believe that He will perfect that which concerneth me. Next point on this is, this part was more on the touching part that I was speaking on. Next point, in point number two here, I would like to speak on unbelief a little bit. And I will turn to Hebrews 3, verse 1. Hebrews 3, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And let's consider Jesus. We're used to hearing messages of Him. We're used to reading about what He did on earth for us. And He left the Father, or He was sent from the Father, I would say, from glory. And He came and walked in flesh and blood. And He took our guilt and sin, our shame and condemnation, our hurts. He took all of that upon Himself. He can identify with us. And let's consider Him, what He went through, and that He is alive today forevermore. And that we can come to Him and believe Him. It says in verse 12 in chapter 3 here, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are," verse 14, "for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." When we became born again, or when that day was when we knew we are right with God, we are forgiven. His blood has taken away my shame, my guilt, and my hurt. Let's hold the beginning of that confidence steadfastly until He calls us home. Let's not let go of that. It will carry us through. That confidence gets tested as we go through life, and I think it's good that it's tested, whether it is of whether our confidence is in God or is my confidence in myself or another man. And God gives us, has all the resources right here to see where our confidence is, and I'm very encouraged with that. Let's change gears a little bit and talk about fear. The Webster's definition of fear One of the definitions that I looked up is to feel a painful apprehension of some impending evil, to be afraid of, to consider or expect with emotions of alarm. What are some triggers that cause fear in my life? What causes us to fear? I don't know that I have a lot to expound on that or to point out or help with that, but it was interesting to me to think about that. And God knows our frame. He knows what triggers us as well. And we can come to Him and have our fears cleansed. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 16, he says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us." The beginning of our confidence. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Can we grasp that we are like Jesus when he comes back? Can we have that confidence? Yes, we can. By believing him, believing his word, being washed, we can have love made perfect in our hearts. We can be made whole. In verse 18, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in God that makes us fearful. God doesn't make us afraid. I'm talking to us that have been washed. I think we rightfully are afraid of Him when we are not right with God. And I think that's good. But perfect love casts us out fear. Jesus, when He comes in here and He is allowed to have a home here, fear has to go because fear and God don't mix. God has power over fear. Says, because fear has torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Praise God. That brings us to point number 3, having confidence toward God by his love. I looked up the word confidence. It says a trusting or reliance, an assurance of mind or firm belief in the integrity and stability of another, or in the truth and reality of a fact. It's describing God, isn't it? And I looked up the word toward, and it says with direction to, respect to, regarding, near, at hand, in a state of preparation, ready to do or learn. And I just love that picture. Having confidence near God, being ready with Him. Point number 3. In James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I had to think we can experience God's love through. And we experience, as we experience healing through confessing faults, confessing our broken parts in our life to each other. And we come before God in prayer with those broken parts. There can be healing, and we experience God's love in our hearts. Isn't that amazing? Us fallen men who have been washed can come together and confess, and we can pray, and just another confirmation that Christ is alive, isn't it? We can ask God in confidence. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. It is His will that we're healed. It is His will that we are free in Him to be a free worker in His vineyard. If I would come to work with 100 pounds extra clothes on me, wouldn't that really slow me down at work? Just that extra weight could break down and make me unuseful in His kingdom. If we're burdened down with a broken piece in our lives, we have a place that we can shed it, and that is to come to each other, confess, and pray for one another that you may be healed and experience God's love. Touching on believing God in verse 22, it says, in verse 23, in chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, in our text here, it says, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. And it references to Gospel John, chapter 6, verse 27 through 29. I will read that. It says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto the everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him has God the Father sealed. I like that call. We don't have to labor with this extra weight or brokenness in our lives. I think when we try to overcome this outside of God's healing for us, we are working in vain for meat that perishes. God's meat will not perish. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? In verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent. It just takes the wind right out of our earthly sail, doesn't it? God did the work. This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him. Can we believe Him? Yes, we can. Whom He has sent. Praise God. In the last verse here, He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in Him. What does that look like? He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in God, and God in him. And I think that's what he's saying. In chapter 14 of Gospel John, verse 20 to 21, Jesus said, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself in him. Manifest, looked up that meaning, and it says to reveal, to make, to appear, to show plainly, to make public, to disclose to the eye or to understanding. This doesn't look to understanding, does it? I have another illustration that I would like to bring up here that blessed me. This is what we can be. He said, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I found three roses that I wanted to put, that I put in here. And we are transparent when Christ comes within us. And we can see Christ in that person's life. And he's restored, it's whole. It's not broken anymore. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is alive in that person. And he says he will manifest. Verse 21, let me read that again. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. How can we not love him when it's dwelling in us beautifully like that and we're not broken? Can we not have confidence toward God as he loves us? He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Can I grasp that being like this, now the Father loves me? Is that possible? Yes, it is. And Jesus said, I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And there he is. Praise God. I have some closing thoughts I would like to share out of John 17, Gospel John 17, verse 21 and through 23. Jesus, and I'm reading those from what I read here. It was referenced there from, I referenced it here from chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, the last part. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. When his Spirit is dwelling in us and we're whole in Christ, we know that he is in us. And we have confidence toward him. Gospel John 17, verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I just had to think, the glory of Jesus Christ was in our lives. Fill a whole church with this. Amazing. Verse 23, I and them, this is Jesus praying to the Father, I and them and thou in me, was Jesus praying, that they may be made perfect in one. Made perfect from our broken areas in life, that we may be one together as a whole body of whole born-again believers. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And that verse stood out new to me. The last part where it says, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus was praying to the Father that he would show the world how he loved us. And I just felt so unworthy that he is praying to the Father that he would show the world how he loved us. That gives me a lot of confidence in God. That his love that he has for us is a beautiful thing. It's enabling, it's motivating, and I believe it captures our interest to what we follow after. And has loved them as thou hast loved me. That's saying God has loved me as he has loved Jesus, making us one with him. That causes me to have confidence in God, and I hope it does for you too. God wants to show this world that he loves you and me. And as he shows the world that love, it comes through being whole and at rest, having confidence. As it said there in Isaiah, I love those words. I will read that. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. We can have strength. That is the conclusion of the message here this morning. I am not looking to take up more time. I was blessed to study into this. I pray that it was a blessing for you all and causes you to have confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ, to come to him as we are, and to reveal our hearts to him. He knows it already. Let's let him know that we know it too. God bless all of you, and pray the Lord's blessings on your life this week. Amen.